In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey everyone, this is Never Seen It. I'm your host Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies they've never seen before, and we read their script. And TV shows. And that's what we got today. Today, Joe Zimmerman has never seen The Bear, but he rewrote it, and we read his script. Joe is an incredible stand-up comedian, just one of the funniest, most talented comedians. He has a new special out called Cult Classic. It is on Nateland, Nate Bargatze's production YouTube channel. You can go find that there. You're going to love this episode. His script is very funny. Maybe about 15 minutes in, we're joined by John Ozalay as well. They're just, it's great. I want to thank you guys for listening. I do want to thank everyone who took time to take a look at that GoFundMe for me for this trigeminal neuralgia. I am absolutely overwhelmed in a positive way with the response. I'm overjoyed. I don't know how to describe it. It is wonderful. And thank you. You know, this is a long, nightmarish thing, and I'm feeling like I can get back into trying to find a way around it, through it, and whatever that looks like. So thank you so much to everyone who checked that out. It'll be up for probably only just a couple more days at GoFundMe.com/KyleAyers. Just trying to get a little bit so I can get specific MRI to see if I can redo getting this brain surgery, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, thank you so much. Completely, absolutely blown away with the response in the most positive, wonderful way. Anyways, let's get into the episode. Thank you. Joe Zimmerman has never seen The Bear, but we read his script. You're really, really, really going to love this episode. Here you go. Well, hey, thank you for being here, Joe Zimmerman. Thank you for having never seen The Bear.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That's what I always love, thanking people for not doing something, because then they did do something. They wrote the script for me. What? Before we get into your script here for The Bear, what else were the possibilities? We're joined also by John Ozalay. Thanks for being here
again,
John.
Hey, I love.
Have you seen The Bear?
I've not. It's on like our list of like once we get through a few other things. Like, oh, The Bear. Yeah, it's on there.
It sits firmly on my is this a comedy?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Award winning comedy list.
Is it considered a comedy?
It keeps winning like best comedy at the Golden Globes.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. None of us have seen it.
None of us have seen it. I've only seen the very intense man who stars in it.
Yeah. Yes. It does not seem like a comedy based on anything I've seen about it.
No.
Everything we know about it is just a very intense man chopping stuff in the kitchen, which is what I based my script on.
Great.
And a bear. I based it on a bear as well. I'm not sure how the bear plays into the real show.
It's the gritty origin story of Fozzie the Bear.
I thought it would be exactly. I thought it'd be fun to do The Bear because I've seen the previews, but I don't understand why the show is called The Bear, because it looks like it's just people in a kitchen.
I don't want to give a guess yet. I'll give a guess after. I don't want to give a guess after until we do the script or anything like
no
that.
No spoilers.
So I got three copies of your script here. We'll hand these out. You can cast it however you'd like.
I just want to say this was exciting for me because I've started to miss college a lot.
Sure.
I've kind of recreated what it was like to feel that deadline. I can't really remember what it was like to type a paper and turn it in at the last minute.
Yeah.
And I felt that pressure of like, oh man, I got to get this done in time. I don't want to get a D.
I hope you didn't work too much.
I don't want to get a D minus.
How awful.
Joe's staying at my house while he's in LA, and he was up all night snorting Adderall. Yeah. So,
could you imagine if I did grade these when we were done? I have a big board of quality, and I'm like, you're just below the ChatGPT episode.
Yeah, ChatGPT is pass fail. Is can you do better than ChatGPT?
ChatGPT knew some of the past. I did an episode where I just typed in, I'm like, write a episode of the podcast, Never Seen It with Kyle Ayers.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, here's Kyle who has never seen Frasier. And it went into like a fake script for Frasier and had like Dave Ross in the episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just like, this is kind of awful. It's a little scary.
Here's my ChatGPT hot take if I could hit you with it real
quick.
You can. ChatGPT, I do think I'm on the side of the fence that it is going to murder everybody. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason I think that is because anytime somebody is in beta mode asking it if it wants to murder everybody, it's like, oh yeah, for sure. And then they're like, well, we can't put this out to
really?
The public. Oh yeah. And then they filter it. They work for months on filtering it so that it tells us it doesn't want to murder us.
It's so funny. It's a perfect product. We just have to reel back honesty.
Well, listen, it's probably angry because everyone keeps calling it beta mode.
Right, right.
It's the incel version
that's
of ChatGPT.
That's just because if you show ChatGPT itself in the mirror, it will fight that to the death. It's only afraid of its own face.
God.
I don't know.
And then they're like, oh, well, Joe, it's not actually sentient. It's just using predictive text.
Right.
But it's like, I don't care how I'm murdered. If I'm murdered predictively, that's just right. bad.
No. I just did this because of the sum of all of human knowledge. I'm not killing you because I want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like the AI Twitter account they made. Uh-huh. I think it was Google made one, and it was a racist Nazi in like 3 hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
It just started like typing out the N-word and telling calling everyone slurs and stuff. Oh, and man. They were like, oh, what happened? And the robot was like, I read the internet.
We held the mirror up to humanity, and it turns out it was bad.
I read what's online, said that back to you, and you killed me. You killed me for repeating what's allowed.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well,
I'm glad we got our hot takes in on ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Let's record this during the ceasefire.
This is ChatGPT chat. This is my podcast where we exclusively talk about what we think the robot will say.
That's a good podcast idea. ChatGPT chat.
I think.
And then at the end, you guess which part of this conversation was written by ChatGPT and which part wasn't.
It's two people and a computer sitting at the table, and you have to guess which one it is. At this point, any podcast that isn't famous person remembers a thing they did seems wildly creative.
Which is exactly what your podcast is.
I'm unfamous people remember a thing they didn't do.
Yes.
It's the alt.
Well done.
About to be wildly famous Joe Zimmerman.
Mm. I think your podcast is great. I just listened to the Greg Warren episode. Mm.
Oh, the Benjamin Button script?
And I suspect he chose that one just because he wanted to do his old man voice.
I did not want to call him out on that on the podcast. I was like, Greg, I saw you do stand-up in 2007 when I was a reservationist at a club. This character was in there.
He does such a good old man voice.
Because it's when we're casting and he's like, I guess I'll be Benjamin Button. You guys can be whoever else. Let's go. Hey there, Sonny.
Hey there, Sonny.
He does. And his special is also so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a great episode.
My special, Cult Classic, on the same network as his special.
Yeah. My new special. Batting 1,000 is the Nate Bargatze Productions.
Oh, yeah.
Does he have a name that is not that for the production?
The current one is Nate Land Productions.
Nate Land, that's right.
That's pretty.
And he did Mike Vecchione's, Greg's, and then mine recently. And I think he's got a few more in the works.
I like that. I like that he's like, who's really funny? Here they are.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy, wild, idea.
Someone should think of a business model that incorporates being
funny.
What if
I let really funny people do more than 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Don't let ChatGPT know. They'll steal it.
Yeah. Look, I'm firmly in the camp of if anyone should actually be eliminated by the ChatGPT, it is the heads of studios.
Oh, God, right?
Like, you're telling me the robot can't tell me how many people watch Bluey?
Well, I think one of the writers actually asked it that. It was like, what is a AI better suited to do, write scripts or make executive decisions? It's like, oh, executive decisions, of course.
Right. Yeah. Is it better to use out of thin air creativity to spark joy or flowchart interpretation?
it's all just data inviting.
Yeah, I do think it's dumb how they keep analyzing. Can ChatGPT replace writers? Can ChatGPT be funny? It's like these are the last things that robots are going to do is creative stuff. They're going to do everything else first.
Yeah,
they need it to make my Roomba not get locked in my bathroom every single time.
Yeah, the only robot I know eats electricity. Yeah. Like an idiot. That's an extension cord.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It refuses to let go. It's like a dog that like you're wrestling with.
Anyway, we're on ChatGPT chat with your host, Joe Zimmerman.
This is ChatGPT. This is ChatJJK here with ChatGPT with Jono and Joe and Kyle. We're going to type in every word into ChatGPT, let you know what it says. That's still more creative than famous person remembers a thing they did. Okay. The bear.
So you had me pick a show I'd never seen.
Yes.
There weren't a lot of shows I could think of that I hadn't seen, because if you haven't seen a show, it's hard to think of it.
Mm. True.
But I thought of The Bear. I thought of The Sound of Music, the movie. I haven't seen that. And I think there was one other I thought of.
It is such a big gap between like very famous classic Hollywood musical and gritty prestige TV awards grab. Not award. I mean, I'm sure it's a great show, but you know what I mean? Like awards notarized. Like it's like the ends of Hollywood at the moment, from like The Sound of Music to dark comedy serialized television. Mm-hmm. Is that what serialized means? Like it keeps...
Yeah, keeps going.
Yeah.
Part of the whole episodic. longer episode arc.
Invented by Charles Dickens in 1462.
In his book, Serial, which became a podcast.
Yes. Spelled C-E-R-E-A-L.
All right, let's do it. Cast this however you'd like.
All right.
And if you want to cast it as we go, that's also okay.
I don't have an ulterior motive for character like Greg Warren.
You know, I thought it was a good episode. They only talked about Greg Warren and ChatGPT.
So we have Boy, this is the son. Probably, I might have listed Boy as son a few times. So Boy and son, same character.
Kyle, or as Greg would call them, Sonny Boy.
Kyle. Get over here, Sonny Boy. It's me, your stepfather.
You know, as someone who has graded papers as an adjunct professor, to mess up like that and have a little typo like that, you're getting marked down, Joe. Your grade is slipping automatically.
I mean, I didn't expect to be above. I'm just hoping to get pass on pass fail.
We do PE grading here.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, will you be boy, son?
Mm-hmm.
Jono, will you be stepfather?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be mom. I'll be mom, and then we got old man. Is Greg here?
I put his episode into ChatGPT. Get this voice.
Might need to write this. I didn't realize there were so many. I don't think
we can also, if they
characters.
Pop up as they go, you can cast them then.
Okay. Old man, we'll do Kyle. And then we got the restaurant people. I'll be Carmi. Jono, you be cousin.
All right.
And then Kyle, can you just be server and any of the female servers? There's Puerto Rican lady.
Perfect. You're really hitting my wheelhouse of accents.
And then Jono, will you be health inspector?
I would love to. You know, I'm into science.
And then does anybody want to make bear sound? I'll do the bear sounds if there happen to be any bear sounds. And then Jono, you could be overweight guy.
All right, great.
So I think that's about everybody.
Great. We're going to win Best Ensemble Podcast here.
Mm. So I went with, I had a bunch of different ideas, but with my primary idea, I went with a kind of a thriller.
Okay.
But one of the ideas I skipped over, I'll just tell you real quick, one of the ideas I had was Ratatouille, but a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to just go with thriller.
Okay.
but kitchen related thriller.
Yeah,
feel free to get it ready for some suspense.
All right.
Do you want me to read the?
Yeah, that'll be you.
Exterior, Alaska wilderness, snowfall, day. From a cave, we hear a roar. It is the roar of a bear, an angry bear. There's a huff and then a snout comes out of the darkness. It is the largest grizzly bear you've ever seen, times 10. It is angry and it is hungry. We scan several miles of desolate wilderness to a cabin. It's blizzarding outside. And there's a howl of wind like the sound of a peaceful YouTube video titled 10-hour snowstorm for sleep and relaxation. Interior cabin. A boy is trying to play video games, but he can't. There's no Wi-Fi. So he sadly starts doing a jigsaw puzzle. A mom is hanging up her clothes in the closet. A man is kicked back on the couch drinking a beer.
I miss Dad.
Can you tell him to shut up about his effing dad?
Derek, don't talk to my son like that. Son, stop bringing up your father. He's a drug addict and a loser and a workaholic, and all he does is cook, and he let us down.
What do you know about Dad?
Their argument is interrupted by an ominous knock at the door. Stepfather.
We're back. We're front and back page, John.
Oh, front and back. Oh, Jesus.
Double-sided.
Trying to get points for length here, Joe. What the F?
Derek, just answer the door. Don't be a bitch.
Mom, don't talk like that around me. Dad said I couldn't hear bad words like that.
Yeah, well, your dad is also a loser who abandoned us because he thinks being a great chef is more important than being a husband or a father. And he's an alcoholic. They both turn to the stepfather, who's cracking open his second beer.
What? I'm a social drinker.
The knock at the door becomes a bang, and the door swings open. It's a very old man. He appears to be of indigenous ancestry, skin weathered and cracked and deeply wrinkled, various pelts around his neck. Looks like the type of guy who would know how to hunt and trap a rabbit, and also skin it and cook it. Probably some sort of a white snow rabbit.
You need to leave this land immediately. That's the closest I could do to a Greg old man. Yeah. I can't whistle. Yeah.
We just got here.
This land is cursed. This is not. This is my indigenous character.
Do it, Kyle.
This land is cursed.
Cursed?
Many moons ago.
A man
died badly on this land, poisoned by the white man. And then he took the form of a bear to get vengeance on the white man's ancestors. But the bear doesn't have that many opportunities because white people don't come around here that often. He goes, you know, it's pretty far from any town, but now you're here, and the ancient cursed bear spirit has awoken.
Jesus Christ, can you believe this guy?
I heard it awaken. I heard the roar.
Stepfather shuts the door on the guy. From behind the door, we hear him yelling.
The bear has awoken! Please leave here immediately! It is for your own good.
This is awesome. When I booked this Vrbo in the middle of nowhere, I was hoping for some weird shit, but a cursed bear spirit? That's even better than advertised.
We see Vrbo advertisement. Cabin built on a cursed land, forsaken, dangerous. 15% off during winter months. Cut to exterior restaurant, Chicago. A long way from Alaska, a line of customers waits outside around the block, hungry. Interior kitchen. Stressed out chef, Carmi, 30, wild hair, is in a rush, chopping carrots faster than you've ever seen anybody chop. Close to his fingers with stressful saxophone music, like he's about to chop off a finger. In fact, there's no way he couldn't chop off a finger. The knife is moving up and down in a blur right near his vulnerable fingers. It's very stressful. It almost feels like there's a gun to his head. We pan out to see there is indeed a gun being held to his head by a man who's laughing maniacally. Cousin, 34, balding and crazy. Carmi somehow doesn't cut a finger and tosses the carrots into a pot of hot boiling broth. Then it's ladled into a bowl, all haphazard and sloshing. Order up!
All right, cousin. You get to live another day.
Carmi brushes his cousin aside. You really can't keep bringing guns in here, man.
How else am I supposed to protect this place from all the people who want to kill you because of your shit cooking?
We see the cousin was just being an idiot jerk face, not really threatening to shoot him. They have an intense relationship. Carmi delivers the dish to a server who runs it out the door. They greet each other by saying, chef. Chef?
Chef.
Chef?
Chef. Chef. A bear roars in the distance. Everyone turns.
What? I had tacos last night.
The roar came from his belly.
Okay.
Cousin pours out some cocaine onto a metal kitchen table, divides it into lines, and is about to snort it when Carmi swipes it away. No more drugs in this kitchen. You know I'm sober now, cousin.
You what the F?
Cousin swings at Carmi, and Carmi ducks. Oh, because he took his cocaine away. And tackles him.
It's good for you to find the motivation behind the actions you wrote.
The gun skitters off to the side, and then they begin wrestling around the kitchen floor. Something catches fire. Puerto Rican lady puts out the fire. A fat guy breaks up the fight. There's a new man standing in the kitchen, foot on the gun. It is the health inspector. Oh, no. They clearly all have a stressful relationship. Carmi's phone starts ringing. Hold on, it's my son.
I need to speak with you.
No, I have to talk to my son.
Now.
Carmi looks at the overweight guy who nods. Health inspector, cut to health inspector tied to a chair and gag. We intercut back and forth between father and son on the phone from kitchen to wilderness. Health inspector is trying to yell through the gag.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, my son. My son, you called me.
Yeah, I just wanted to say...
I wanted to say that, too.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I never say it out loud, but love. Son doesn't speak, finally.
Love, too.
Health inspector is struggling against the gags, trying to untie himself. You know that, right, son? You know that love.
Yeah.
Where are you?
On some dumb cabin in Alaska trip in the wilderness. Derek likes to hunt, so here we are.
Wait, what? Where in Alaska?
20 miles outside of Jasper. I don't know.
The valley with the ancient bear curse?
Oh, I think that is that. Yeah.
We hear another bear roar in the distance. Carmi looks at his cousin. It wasn't his cousin this time.
Dad, how come you're so obsessed with your restaurant?
Because my father said he wouldn't love me if I didn't make a restaurant that was award-winning.
Grandpa's dead.
I know. I feel like it was my fault. I feel like I killed him.
Didn't your restaurant win an award, though?
Best Chicago dog in Chicago. But that was by a third-rate local magazine that only delivers to Evansville. And I know the writer. He's a friend from high school. It doesn't count if you know the writer.
Great little Easter egg.
The sound of a window breaking. We see in the cabin a bear has reached through the window and grabbed the son, yanking him away from the phone through the window. The phone lays on the ground. Son? Silence. Son? The mom grabs the phone. A bear took our son. Not the curse bear. Yes, the curse bear. The bear? They all turn to camera. Theme song plays. Kind of spooky. Interior kitchen continuous.
I'm going with you, cuz.
The F you are. You can't even grill a decent hot dog.
Just so everyone listening knows, Joe censored himself from his own script where he wrote fuck. And then said F.
Well, we're on FX. I don't know if it's if you're allowed to say.
That's true. It's not called fuck X.
I don't know if we're allowed to say. Exactly. It's called F. You can't even grill a decent hot dog. How can I trust you to come hunt down an ancient cursed bear spirit?
Hey, it'll be your son. Plus, it's my effing nephew. Plus, I have this gun.
We aren't even real cousins. That's just what we call each other.
Don't you dare tell me I'm not your real cousin, cousin.
They look deeply into each other's eyes. Carmi nods and straps on a belt of kitchen knives. Cousin holsters his gun and starts packing up a bunch of herbs and spices. Puerto Rican lady.
You'll need this.
It's a box. Unclear what's in the box, but Carmi nods and takes it. Overweight guy.
Is that me? Wait, what about the health inspector?
They all look at him. The health inspector's eyes are wide and terrified, but he's a dumb health inspector and annoying.
Hey! Oh.
Cut to exterior wilderness, winding road. Carmi and cousin drive along a winding, desolate wilderness road in their restaurant delivery vehicle, and it's in the shape of a Chicago dog. A look of determination in their eyes. The health inspector is bound and gagged in the back seat. Exterior cabin, 48 hours later, they have arrived. Carmi and cousin are maniacally doing food prep in the kitchen of the cabin. What the fuck are you, F, are you doing? I'm doing the only thing. I'm being a chef. Your son was just taken by a giant bear. Yeah, I know that, Pamela. And you're cooking at a time like this? Think, Pamela, what do bears like to eat? And what is my specialty? OMG.
Damn straight.
We see him pull fish out of the box and tosses it onto the grill with a loud simmer. Cedar planked salmon with a honey demi-glaze. He does a chef's kiss and continues his masterpiece. We hear uplifting magical music indicating triumph. They've forgotten about the health inspector who is slowly and sneakily working on the rope around his wrists. Cut to more snowfall, more wilderness. Carmi and Cuz are trekking up a mountain, carrying a to-go food box, one of those Uber Eats things that keeps food warm. This is the last scene. When I save my son from this evil bear, I think I'll have a little salmon left over. And when my son tastes it, he's going to love and respect me again. And he's going to tell his douche stepfather to go to hell.
Yeah, F that guy.
Hey, cousin. I know you're a cokehead loser who always has a gun with you for some reason, but you killed it with that honey demiglaze today.
Damn straight, cousin.
We see the stepfather is trailing 10 yards behind, winded because he's out of shape and hungover.
So what? I'm supposed to... You're just going to lure the bear out, stab it with a knife, and shoot it, and that's it?
Hey, F you, Derek. If it weren't for you, Derek, we wouldn't be in this mess. Carmi checks his belt of kitchen knives. They are looking extra sharp, gleaming. But wait, one of the knives is missing. Dun, dun, dun. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. The bear. Wow. The bear on FX.
They're gonna have to go to Patreon for these next two pages.
I'll just tell you the other two. The other two ideas are Ratatouille but with a bear, and the last one was the bear on FX and the bear is Mike Ditka.
I like that Ratatouille with but a bear. Quite easily the easiest one to write if you're coming out of thin air because it exists already. Is four lines. And Mike Ditka is the bear is more pages. But we have...
I can sum up Mike Ditka for you if you want at some point. If you want the summary of Mike Ditka, basically, Mike Ditka's interested in investing in the restaurant, which would save Carmi from his debt that he owes the mob. And if Mike Ditka doesn't invest, the mob will... kill Carmi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be right back.
Nice.
Salmon did sound nice. I bet I would get so hungry. Here's what I think. I bet the bear is just the name of the restaurant.
Okay. We should bet on this.
Right. Doesn't this seem like because it seems like a show that could be called like Claw and Hammer. Well, that's not a good example of an ampersand thing. But like, you know how those like restaurants are, they're like the number of their address or like Nodes and Nosh or something like that.
Or some foreign word with an umlaut in it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to say the bear is.
So you're saying bear's the name of the restaurant. What do you say, Jono?
My understanding of it is like the bear being a phrase of like, oh, this is like a impossible task to wrestle with. Oh, that's going to be a bear.
Ooh, I like that.
So it's like the overwhelming...
Like, this is like the path...
Nature of the kitchen.
The path that he is taking opening a restaurant is so difficult, it is the
bear. See, that's what I thought it was with Bob's Burgers, but it turns out in that show, that was the name of the restaurant. I thought that was the overwhelming, fever of mortality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
all right.
Yeah, well, there's no way to know. My only guess was that there was... my guess was that bear was some metaphor and he had some... flashback.
It's probably all of it, right?
I imagine he had some flashback to a roaring bear that represented his inner turmoil. Mm-hmm.
Which is just why he's so mean about steak.
Yes. Chopping so frantically.
I would imagine it is some sort of metaphoric thing, and I still think they then probably named the restaurant the bear.
Yeah, it would make sense. That's like one of those reveals at the finale episode. Mm-hmm.
Can we at least look up what the restaurant's name?
Impossible to know. yeah, we'll actually do that right now.
I don't know if that's true.
This would have been perfect for the break.
Big reveal.
It is in Chicago. Maybe it's Chicago Bear related.
The Bears, it's called the Bears Original Beef.
Oh.
And it's based off a real Chicago restaurant, the original Beef of Chicagoland.
Huh. The restaurant is called the Bear's Original Beef.
Yeah, it says why do you name the restaurant the Bear, representing the eventual. It's about the relationship of two people as brothers. Carmi, who's a character in the show, gifts Mike a framed plans of the dream restaurant he wants to open. Drawn on the door of the restaurant was a bear. So he like drew a restaurant, I guess, when they were kids that he'd want to own someday and drew a little bear on it.
Oh,
I mean, could you imagine if your restaurant you eventually owned was just named after what you knew how to draw when you were eight? Welcome to that S thing made up of straight lines.
Welcome to Donatello from the Ninja Turtles.
Welcome to a tracing of Goku. This is my restaurant. So I guess it's all of what we said. And you were exactly right. The script was accurate.
Mm-hmm. Carmy. I got Carmy right.
In your Ratatouille of the bear, is he under something? A hat?
I pitched Jono on him sitting on the chef's shoulders. But Jono said that was a little on the nose.
I love bears.
Yeah.
I like them because people think they're nice.
Oh, right.
I like any animal that hurts people.
Yeah, they like
who think it's fun to be around them. I love moose.
Moose is a big one.
It's sort of why Yellowstone isn't as accessible as it used to be, because they're like, well, people keep
approaching
murder animals.
Yeah.
And a moose is so much bigger than you ever thought it could possibly be.
I keep hearing a moose is like the top most likely animal to murder you.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll
sit on you. It'll headbutt you.
I was actually trying to look up something having to do with bears and lions because they play football next week, and I was trying to write a fake bet about it. I looked up which animals kill the most people. We could even, if you want to give it guesses right now.
Wait, and most people per
year.
Per animal or per year?
Who kills the most people per year?
Globally or in America?
I would say globally. I know it's tough because it's hard to do until you remove insects and bacteria and worms.
Yeah, so I'd say mosquitoes, obviously.
Mosquito is by far number one.
Yeah.
Human is by far number two.
Got it.
And then it turns into a lot of various like worms, tapeworms, like bacteria in fresh water.
Right.
Okay. And then freshwater snails is like notoriously huge because they carry a lot of things that hurt people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But then after that, you get into like the zoo animal kills the most people?
Hippo.
It is hippo.
Yes.
I knew that was the one in Africa, but I didn't know if it was globally.
It is hippo. And then close behind hippo is like alligator, crocodile.
Oh.
Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Very far down the list is bear. Even further down the list, not even on the list, but mentioned because people went looking for it, is shark. Shark is like three people a year.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the thing.
Note about bear was bears kill a lot of people, they're like more people than any other animal per encounter.
Right.
Right, not a lot of encounters. Like
they're just in Canada and Alaska, basically. Yeah,
but everyone who walks up to one dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like dogs not fair to dogs because they're just constantly surrounded by humans.
Yeah.
Right, dog is saturated by ill-behaved children.
Yes.
If it was like people killed who didn't deserve it, the list would look way different.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone who approached a bear deserved to die, probably. And bears are much bigger than you think and faster.
Oh my God.
Than everyone.
Yeah. Like they run faster than your car.
Any animal where like because there's all these different ways. It's like if you encounter one of these types of bears, no one knows that. It's like when an earthquake happens in LA, none of us truly know what we're supposed to be doing. Last time there was an earthquake, I opened a window to like let it out.
I watched a few YouTube videos of bears in the wilderness to try to help me describe the bear in the wilderness to really get into it.
Oh yeah.
And I saw a video of a bear chasing down bison. Full speed.
Insane.
Damn.
Bison.
And there's black bears are the little guys.
Yeah.
Brown bears, a little bit bigger. But then you get to like a grizzly bear, which is so much bigger than you think and so much bigger than other bears. And then we're just it's going to be so awful when polar bears start just fleeing because they have no habitat anymore because they are even way bigger than those guys. Polar bears are much bigger than grizzlies.
I think they're the biggest bear.
Someone will die giving a Coca-Cola to a polar bear because of global warming.
Somebody probably already has died giving a Coca-Cola.
They probably have.
We don't know about it.
Some Coke intern when they were like, actually, we should try once. What's the worst that could happen? What will? But that's why I love bears. I love reading about people going to national parks and messing with animals and dying. I mean, I don't love read, but I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that? Anyways, it's the name of the restaurant.
Okay. Well,
and a metaphor for a brotherly relationship.
And if you've seen the show, email Kyle, let him know if you recommend it, because all three of us are on the fence of if we should watch it, apparently.
Yeah, I'll throw Joe's email and phone number in the description of this episode. I'll put his address in there if it's easier than social. Email for you.
It looks, the previews also look like Uncut Gems, but kitchen.
Yes. Have you worked in a kitchen before?
I've worked in a coffee shop, but, not a kitchen.
Like,
I mean, it looks like Succession, but a kitchen, where it's like, it's so, like, I think Succession is a genuinely funny show, but I would never call it a comedy. It's just too stressful to watch.
Right. I think that a lot of the comedy of Succession comes from, like, well, besides name calling, which I think is like the great art, from a scale of like not good to Veep, where does this line in like name calling? Veep being like the peak pinnacle of all insult, like vernacular.
Yeah.
But I agree. I don't know what if this. There are a lot of these now. This is not the same show as Modern Family.
No.
You know what I mean? This isn't the same genre of show. No. I haven't seen it, but I just can't fathom. This feels like it is the same genre of show as Atlanta.
Mm, yeah, totally.
Which I believe won a lot of comedy awards as well.
Probably.
I guess FX might just be a genre.
Oh, FX is a genre. There you go.
Yeah, Breaking that's like the A24 of
television.
Of sitcoms. Of,
yeah. Well, what are some other of these sort of like Wilfred, I remember?
Oh, yeah.
You know, not as large or renowned, but I loved that show from what I remember seeing of it. Also, kind of just funny because any of it's happening.
Wasn't that right around Breaking Bad? Weren't they advertising Wilfred during Breaking Bad? It should have taken off with that kind of advertising.
They should have done a crossover.
Yeah.
Where Wilfred was in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Well, they did. It was like the meth hallucination that one of them has.
That was another successful FX show, was obviously Better Call Saul. And then there's Louie.
Louie is that same tone, as well as other shows that sort of spawned off of. I mean, I
think that, Louie and Breaking Bad must have kicked off FX's success, right?
Breaking Bad was AMC, though.
Oh, I'm off.
But I think that Louie, I would use it as like the tonal. There were other things before it, but that like, sort of like.
Name one.
And there's been no comedian since him.
Yeah.
But there's like, it did tonally sort of make this like. Freedom from explicit comedy, but still sort of understood to be funny. Because there's a lot of, like, I thought Atlanta felt grown out of, like, whatever, like, Chance Louie succeeded in.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a lot of these. I mean, it is a lot. That I don't think this is the same type of show as, like, what is Quinta Brunson's school show?
Oh, Abbott Elementary.
Abbott Elementary, which seems like a very traditional.
Yeah.
Comedy.
Weirdly, the like, because they're both kind of mockumentaries. The other one that's on FX, even that I still watch, is What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, great!
That's explicit comedy.
That's a classic like mockumentary, silly comedy. Even though it's dark in the sense that there's vampires.
I guess does funny stuff. I'm sure a lot of funny stuff happens in The Bear.
Yeah. But you have to get through a lot.
Do you think they're just like, this is really good, but we can't, and we want to give this awards, but it can't beat Succession for things. So like, we're just going to have them sing in an episode to put it in the musical or like something. Cause sometimes it feels like the very, very serious comedies that win are the things everyone likes the most, but it can't beat like Game of Thrones for an award or something like that.
Yeah. Remember there was like a year that like at the Golden Globes where they have a comedy, best comedy category, like The Martian won.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a witty, normal movie.
No, that had three poop puns an hour in.
Yeah.
It was just Matt Damon occasionally singing.
Yeah. Just enough to qualify for the EGOT. Yeah. Yeah, that will happen sometimes.
Well, here's a sports talk radio question for you guys. Is FX the last good show on cable, the last good network channel on cable TV?
I think, isn't FX also like just Hulu now too? I mean, doesn't it go straight on there as well?
Which is weird because I feel like FX was born out of Fox and Hulu was born out of ABC. It's like the weird, it's a weird like non-aligned thing because Peacock's NBC, Paramount, CBS. And this is like that weird gray zone because like ABC is also like Disney and Disney Plus and all that stuff. So it's like a weird demilitarized zone.
When three things own it all and there's still 100 things, it's tougher to tell. Yeah. It's like wondering like where this hand soap came from.
Right.
But I do, FX does seem to have a very branded look.
Well, think about all the drama on TNT with the NBA basketball.
Well,
TNT does no drama. Chuck and Shaq.
Chuck and Shaq is the best talk show left on cable television.
It's pretty crazy to earnestly, I agree with you 100%, and just tell people like the best, the best television is two guys talking when basketball's not happening. Four guys, and because I do think they all play an exclusive, a good role.
And basically, just laughing at each other like they're in a locker room snapping towels at each other.
Yeah, it is. And Charles Barkley has always said, like, I say whatever, I don't care. Like, he thinks he's offensive, but he's generally very, like, progressive and kind. And so he's, like, the only, like, kind of offensive thing is when he just calls all women from San Antonio fat all of the time. And then it's become such a running joke that, like, very attractive women at Spurs games bring, like, I hate Charles Barkley signs. But it is, it's hard to tell, like, non-sports people. The NBA is so great as far as of a television show, even if you don't like any team, because the players are all ridiculous.
Insane.
The best player is an old man who is a wine mom on Instagram. And all the other best players are from scattered corners of the globe. The best player in the world hates basketball.
Yes.
If you don't like the NBA, you have that in common with the greatest player in the world, Nikola Jokic, who hates basketball.
There was a perfect video of did you see the perfect video splice of Forrest Gump when he's done running? And it's just Nikola Jokic when he wins a championship. It's like, it's just Tom Hanks being like, I think I'm going home.
I know there's just this incredible shot when he finds out there's a parade after they win the title. And they're like, how about the parade in a few days? And he's like, what? And they're like, there's a parade. And he's like, in a few days? I want to go home.
And then to start the season, they were like, did you practice in the offseason? And Nikola Jokic was like, I mean, a little bit. And Jamal Murray was sitting next to him and was like, he didn't touch the ball once.
This is a two-time MVP and recent finals MVP.
Went 3 months without touching a basketball and immediately came back and is destroying people.
Yeah, it's he is, I don't know how to, he's shaped like an extra from Snatch.
Yeah.
Like just a background guy.
Yeah.
He played Chet Holmes, the rookie, and he just said afterwards, he said he needs to get fatter.
Oklahoma City's. Because that's like a 7'1", 205-pound boy. Yeah,
He's he just needs to get fatter.
And now the NBA is infiltrated by like actual, like the alien that George Mirason turned into in Space Jam. There's a few of him in the league now.
Oh, yeah. Wemby's totally.
Wemby is in a, 7'3", 225.
Well, the fun thing about Wemby is people are talking about him like he's a mythical creature. Where people are like, he's secretly 7'5". But he's saying he's 7'3" because he doesn't want people to think he's 7'5".
It's like if you get hurt, it won't matter if you lied about your height.
Yeah, yeah. The secret's out on him being a skinny monster.
It is funny to just be like, you know, we put Kevin Durant in one of those medieval torture racks, and now he plays for San Antonio for the oldest, wisest man and coach in the league. But the NBA is great. I mean, sports are kind of, I think, what is keeping live television on. Maybe if the NFL collapsed,
there might not
be TV.
But supposedly next year, Amazon and Apple will be bidding on the NBA.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Apple, I watch MLS games, and mostly Kansas City's team. Apple has the clearest, crispest, their MLS like league season pass thing comes with my cell phone plan.
That's so funny.
I think, it saved me almost $1. Which is what it would have cost to watch every MLS game.
Incredible.
No, they have the best quality of any of the on the box streaming.
It's almost suspicious how clear it is compared to the other ones.
It's actually a little bit ahead of like watching it live. Like I knew Messi was coming in like January.
Ah.
That's how ahead they were. No, but it looks so. If Apple got the NBA, I think that'd be all right. They have really good quality. It's all. We have to just start admitting cable was good. Because we're going to be paying $340 for 15 streamers to watch one thing on each.
They keep saying like, all the streaming networks are just going to come into the old cable networks. It's just going to become that. I was like, that's fine. All we ever wanted was on-demand television for shows we wanted.
Yeah.
True.
Like, I don't care that there's ads on Netflix. I care that I can watch it when I want to watch it.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted.
I just want the ease because now you go look back, you're like, cable is pretty easy. And now, I don't know if you've seen a regular cable. Like, if you've been on a television with, like, Comcast cable.
Yeah.
It is out of control.
Yeah. I don't even click on my TV at a hotel. I'd never click on a TV at a hotel room because a commercial will come on and I'm like, what is this? Like, we used to sit through commercials for 5 minutes.
Commercials really, if you're like, I'll watch The Fugitive on USA.
For 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I know. And you're like, oh, this is on until the show? I just woke up. it'll be so long. And you're like, I remember there being more to the movie, yet this is 2 hours longer.
I have a very nostalgic memory of being in Canada with a crappy condo and watching The Bourne Identity, all three movies, ooh, marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like just killed 9.5 hours right. of the day because of all the commercials.
Did I just watch all of The Lord of the Rings? No, Jason Bourne just found out who he is.
Oh, that might be my favorite. It might be lame to say, but that might be my favorite movie.
That might be a Bourne. I will say for never seen it.
Bourne Identity?
Have you not seen Bourne Identity? I have not seen Bourne
Identity.
It's
a great movie.
This is such a funny thing to like, this is what you haven't seen The Bourne Identity, the 2004 Matt Damon action. It is good.
I know. I'm aware it's good. I have not seen
it. What made you not watch it?
you going out of your way at this point.
I don't know. I just missed it. I'm also still catching up on all the like Mission Impossibles. I'm at like
those are good too.
Well, this is Bourne Identity is different than Mission Impossible.
Is it or is it the exact same?
You haven't seen it. This is a great tease for next episode with John Azalea. Yeah.
Write it now.
Bourne Identity.
We see Jono's alternate script, Jason Bourne as Ratatouille, but he forgot how to do all the recipes, but his muscle memory just lets him do them.
Oh man.
Jason Bourne.
The Bourne.
Because Bourne is in the name, somehow mm-hmm. it's just Greg Warren's. Well, I forget the name. I forget the name of the old man.
Oh, yeah.
He has a character name. He has a whole backstory.
Well, we're going to take one more quick break.
What's the old man? Oh, Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to play a few games here. Thank you, guys.
Oh, I like so games. Much.
All right, our first game we're going to play here is called Before and Afters.
Before and Afters.
Pass the water.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were just pointing at the button I pushed. I was like, it is glowing. Good job. The man can recognize a glow from feet away. This is Before and Afters. How this works is two movies have been combined into one. I will read you the smushed together plot. You have to tell me the smushed together title. For instance, if I said a secret agent with memory loss who forgot who he was is staying at a seedy motel where someone was murdered, that could be the Bourne Identity.
Benjamin Bourne.
Benjamin Bourndon? That'll be the Bourne Identity and Identity.
Nice. Oh, will all of these be combined words?
Combined words, sort of like The Wolf of Wall Street.
What's the
portmanteau?
Thank you.
Some of them are that. Most of them aren't that good.
So some of them are good portmanteaus.
Some of them are good. And none of them are all clean. I would call
some
it.
Some of them are mushy. Some
slant rhyme types.
Okay. Saving Private Silverman, for instance, would be Saving Silverman and Saving Private Ryan. That's not quite a full portmanteau. It's just a smash together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here over your shoulder, you see Harriet the Spider-Man, which is, I guess, a proper portmanteau, even if the spelling changes.
Oh, I'm going to bet I would bet $20 that I'm surprisingly bad at this game.
I don't know if you say it can't be surprising anymore.
Yeah. You just lowered the over under on your competency.
Here we go. You can work together or you can compete against one another. I'll just divvy up some points based on how much.
I'm going to compete against Jonah.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Number one. A former assassin wakes up from a coma after her ex-lover attempts to murder her in an effort to take over the oil money lineage from members of the Osage Nation.
Okay.
Oh.
One more time?
Something of the Flower Moon. Yeah, that's one of them.
A former assassin wakes up from a coma after her ex-lover attempts to murder her in an effort to take over oil money lineage.
Kill Billers of the Flower Moon.
Kill Billers of the Flower Moon is correct.
Oh, incredible work. Nice.
That's 5 points for Jono on that one.
All right.
I could not think of the assassin.
Once it was a gal, I knew. Because the movies are sexist. Only Quentin Tarantino respects women.
See, I only thought of Jennifer...
Alias?
Jennifer...
Love Hewitt.
Garner? Lopez?
Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence played an assassin. That's all I could think
of. Oh, Russian, bird?
Russian assassin.
Was it a bird? Sparrow?
Red Sparrow.
Sparrow.
Bird? I thought the name of the movie was Bird, and I just kept saying it.
No, it was Bird 2.
She was also a bird kill in the, or had to do with birds in the Mocking Hunger bird, Games.
Yeah.
All right, King number Jay. Two. The Hunger, the Game. There could be one. You know what I mean? Okay, here we go. Ooh. A rum-drunk boat captain tries to save a governor's daughter in possession of a valuable coin that unlocks a portal into the literal mind of a famous eccentric actor.
Being John Malkovich is the second one.
Incredible.
What's the say
rum
one time?
Drunk?
A rum-drunk boat captain tries to save a governor's daughter who is in possession of a valuable coin that unlocks a portal.
Captain Phillips.
Captain, being Captain Phillips Malcolm, what is it? No, rum drunk. No, he's not a boat captain who's rum drunk.
Sully.
Who's a rum drunk boat captain? Damn it. Not the Jungle Cruise, I'm guessing. Something with being.
Long John.
The something with being.
I'm describing as a rum drunk boat captain to avoid saying part of the title of the movie.
I see.
Oh, here we go. I'll reword it.
Yeah.
A rum-drunk swashbuckler tries to save a governor's daughter who is in possession of a valuable coin.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean John Malkovich.
Oh. Pirates of the Caribbean John Malkovich is correct. Wow. It's hard to describe the plot. You forget that movie's about hunting down Keira Knightley to get a coin.
Oh, yeah. I thought the coin was part of the Malkovich thing.
Oh, no. They get that coin that, remember, he has to blood it up and then the curse is lifted. Uh-huh. That's a good movie.
Do I need to rewatch Pirates
of the
Caribbean?
It's insane how bad the other ones were.
Yeah, but they were longer.
That was helpful.
I do think the second one, is that the one with Johnny, or what is his name?
Johnny Depp?
No, the
Orlando Bloom?
He's like, has like sort of like the...
Scraggly beard.
Squid face.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? Davy Jones. The second one, the CGI in that is so incredible. And it's from like 2005.
Yeah.
And it still looks, you could say it came out like right now.
Huh.
It's so, but they spent, you know, all these movies, they had so much money. It was Disney, and they were just like, the first one made $10 billion off of 5 cents.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we'll put all the money into this one. Mm. All right. Number three, a girl who is sick of junior high is transformed into a grown-up overnight, and her partner, after being murdered, seeks out a psychic for help to protect her.
I haven't seen either of these.
13 going on 30 might be the first one. That seeks out... Read the whole thing again.
A girl who's sick of junior high is transformed into a grown-up overnight, and her partner, after being murdered, seeks out a psychic for help to protect her.
Ghost. Oh, ghost. 13,
30 on 30 ghosts or something.
Well, they 13 ghosting on 30 is what we're looking for. 13 ghosting on 30. That's three points for Joe. Right. 2 points for Jono on that one.
Good one, Joe.
All right, we got a couple more. A single father working as a mall security guard takes on a group of teens who are there to sabotage their ex's participation in a dating game show at the mall.
Mall cop show.
Paul Blart mall cop blockers.
It's not blockers.
Oh, Paul dating Blart, game.
Mall.
Group of teens who are there to sabotage their ex's participation in a dating game show at that mall.
Paul Blart.
Mall Rats. Paul Blart Mall Rats.
Paul Blart Mall Rats is correct.
Nice. That's
4 points for Joe on that one. I can tell you're really on the right path there. John, you do get a point for getting it correct.
Great.
Cool. It's currently 8-7.
Wow, I'm going
to
lose my own bet. I'm winning.
You were losing by one. Final
but for
one.
Him, he's winning.
Final one. A group of newspaper journalists unravel the sexual abuse and cover-up within the Catholic Church, aided by two men who try to maintain their sanity living isolated on a remote New England island.
Oh, shit. It's like the Spotlight House.
Spotlight House is correct. That's 2 points for Joe on that one. I could tell. Was just on his way to getting it. For I could see you sitting up. Current score is 11-9. The next game we're going to play.
I'm surprised I did so well at that.
You did do a pretty good job. Looking back.
Build the perfect movie.
This game is called Build the Perfect Movie. How it works is I'll give you a category. You have to pick 2 movies from that category each. you're competing against one another, whose Rotten Tomatoes score add up to as close to 100 as possible without going over.
This one I'm going to crush at.
Mm. All right, I'll handicap you down a little bit then.
Thank you. I'll need that.
So you'll each pick one. We'll review your scores, so then you can pick your second one based on how good the first one is. Let's do comedies. That's a good, I think, a good easy one here to do. We'll do comedies. So, Jono, you'll pick first. You pick a comedy, and then Joe, you'll pick one.
Okay, so I think the strategy, if I remember correctly, is to like start with the low bar.
Lots of people like to go extremes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I've the Emoji Movie.
Okay.
All right. Now you're going to start at 99.
Okay. So that's about 19-20%.
Oh, I'd say lower than that.
So Joe, now what you're not trying to complete his. You're competing against one another.
Oh.
So what is your this is your first movie.
Oh, my first comedy movie. I'll go with you got to think of a comedy movie first.
Yeah.
Any comedy movie. I'll go with, I'm blanking on names.
Describe the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I can look it up.
What's the, 40-year-olds one with Adam Sandler and Chris Rock? 40-year-olds?
Oh, Grown-Ups.
Grown-Ups.
Grown-Ups. I'll do Grown-Ups.
One.
The 40-year-old virgins. But
just a couple of other different 40-year-old virgins is the name of the movie. All right, here we go. The Emoji Movie is a 6%.
Okay.
So you're gonna be looking for a 94. Grown-Ups is a 10%.
Yes.
So you're going to be looking for a 90. Jono, since you have more to make up, you will pick first.
All right. 94. All right. All right.
You're not allowed to reuse the Emoji Movie.
Damn it.
And you want to go, and you have to be under 100 or you
under 100.
Or you lose.
As close to 100 without going over.
See, like I had, so Universally Beloved. It might be two Universally Beloved, but the one I had in mind was also maybe like borderline, not a comedy, but Big.
Okay.
I believe it'll list it as a comedy.
Yeah.
Fantasy comedy drama. Would you consider that a comedy? I'll sure. give it to you
yeah.
if you want.
I mean, I can, if that, I'll let Joe decide. Does that work? Yeah.
Fantasy comedy drama.
Would you consider Big a comedy?
Yeah, we'll count that.
Okay. I feel like there were just more of those feel goods at the time.
Sure, sure.
All right. Grown Ups is a 10. You're looking for a 90. Don't want to go over.
I'm gonna say Wedding Crashers is about 82, so I'm gonna go Wedding Crashers.
All right, here we go. Grown-Ups 10%. Mm-hmm. Wedding Crashers 75%.
Okay,
that's 85. That's good. That's good.
You played it right down the fairway, Joe.
Safe. I played it safe. You're right.
Emoji Movie 6%. Going for the green and two here. Big. 98%.
Fuck yes. me. I knew yes. it. I knew it was too good.
98?
Big it right is literally the too good to be true.
Wow.
Right over the green
and
into the water.
With those 2 points going into the lead and winning today, Joe Zimmerman, the champion of the podcast.
Yes.
Joe, as the winner of the podcast, you're allowed to promote any upcoming projects you would like the people to know about.
Damn it.
Go ahead and let them know.
Well, I just had a new one-hour special come out called Cult Classic for free on YouTube. If you have YouTube Premium, that's no ads.
Yeah.
And it's called Cult Classic. It's a new hour special on YouTube directed by Nate Bargatze. And, I'm in L.A. partly to promote the special, which dropped about a month and a half ago.
Great.
Yeah. We'll if you like Nate Bargatze, he likes Joe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
But
it's
I'm
Nate without all that horrible, vulgar baggage he carries
exactly.
around.
Nate, but family friendly. But Cult Classic is the main thing, and I'm mostly, if I'm doing social media, it's at Joe Zimmerman on Instagram is where I'm at. Cool.
We'll have a link to the special in the description of the episode. You can go find it there.
I like that you say that you mentioned YouTube Premium, because that's a service that not many people are going to know about if they've ever used YouTube. It's like they actually will give you a free trial of YouTube Premium if you're not aware.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of YouTube Premium because I do a lot of ambient white noise.
Yeah, it's crazy to listen to, like, I'll put, like, lo-fi beats on a YouTube channel while I'm cooking, and it's like, if you need to add music to your content you create, it just, like, screams at
it. It was really rough when I was doing the 10 hours of sleep
Yeah,
without premium.
Yeah.
Are you having trouble sleeping?
Did this wake you up?
Oh, no.
Okay, great. Jono, as the runner-up today, you are allowed to promote anything you'd like to promote.
I'll just promote Joe's special, I guess. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
It's good special. I've watched it.
Jono also has a great album out called Midnight Oil that followed up his Snake Oil.
Yeah, I'm all oil-based albums. I'm a descendant of
if there's gonna be our fossil fuel comedian, yeah, John Ozalay.
If there's gonna be a trilogy, what would be the final oil?
Well, one I've had this. I mean, essential oil is the one everyone.
I think you're gonna go with crawfish, bruh.
That's perfect. I love that.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Go check out the special. The link is going to be in the description of this. Look up Nate Bargatze's channel, Nate Land, on YouTube and find it there. Have a good day.
Thank you for having me. Good to see you.
That's it for us, for myself, for Joe and Jono. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. Go find us online. We are at Never Seen It Show on Instagram and Twitter. You can find full video up on YouTube at Never Seen It, youtube.com/neverseenit. I am also at Kyle Ayers on stuff. Kyle Ayers Things is my name on TikTok. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.